are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at all today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I want to base our discussion today around some of the comments made by the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Monroe. But before we get to the minister's comments, I want to say something about how issues surrounding the death of young Bella is being handled. You know, there is a piece of research, actually there's a body of research that suggests that the first thing we tend to hear, we tend to believe. And once we believe it, even in the face of contrary information, we tend to hold on to that belief. I spoke about this on previous shows, and I talked about rumors and how they get started, what they tend to produce. The first thing we hear, and come to believe, and typically we come to believe the first thing we hear. Even in the face of contrary evidence, we continue to believe, and in fact, in the face of that evidence, come to believe it more strongly. There is a term for it that escapes me at the moment. There is a scientific term for it. It is one of the reasons why it's so difficult difficult to dislodge human beings of their primary beliefs. And I came on my show the other day, I said, I do not know the specifics around the death of young Bella. What we knew was she died of injuries. We knew that two family members were being questioned in relation to her death. But as to whether she was sexually assaulted and that kind of thing, I could not comment because I did not know. Still do not know. But that thing has ran rampant around the place. And notwithstanding that it could be true, it may not be true. And notwithstanding that even if it's not true, the death of young Bella is a travesty and tragedy in the country. Still though, as a society, we are not learning the lesson, and we're not learning it because it ain't happening to us. We can express an observation we have, in this instance, that a child died horribly for some reason or the other. Right? We can express our view that a child ought not to die such. We can express our feeling that a child dying in that way enrages us. Nothing is wrong with any of those things. What we can't do is express our opinion as a matter of fact and then spread it all around the world as if it was fact. Well, we can do it, but we do it recklessly and we do it to great harm to ourselves and others. It is absolutely wrong. It's terrible, tragic, and that we have regular average human beings on the planet and in the country who might do such a thing. Okay, I got that, because sometimes our level of intellectualism and reasoning and discretion don't rise beyond the base experiences of our lives. I get that. But then you are in leadership, you owe a greater responsibility to the society in the way you conduct yourself. You are supposed to be better than that. You're supposed to be more informed than that. Why can we not wait? Why can we not wait for the officials who are the ones who determine cause of death and who are able to inform us of all these things? So let me tell you what happens when you hold on to that first belief. When the evidence comes or when the information, you know what many people can say? Man, they lying, they only covering up, etc. That's the society we are grooming, in which objective evidence is now in dispute everywhere. And then we wonder why, when we come with what is not objective evidence, which is the existence of God, why people don't believe us? Well, if you cannot believe your eyes, if you cannot believe the institutions that have a responsibility to produce for you information that is credible, then why in the world should anybody believe anything you and I say, which is just representative of our own beliefs? Where do we go from there in a country like this? Where do we go from there? If we don't have the discipline, surely young Bella deserves, her memory deserves our discipline that way. We just can't wait. And so what we do is on speculation, on lack of evidence, we create movies in our heads about what has happened. Horror stories in our heads. We become the producers of our own fabricated information. And then we go on and live that out. Because your mind, your body doesn't know the difference between reality and what your mind tells it. It's awful. Now, if it turns out that young Bella was sexually assaulted, then we know. We can come in. And if after the fact, because you went on and said it before it was known, and after the fact it becomes so, that don't make you right in what you do. Doesn't make you right in spreading rumors. We need to grow up. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to get it right. Because you know what? One day, it ain't gonna be young Bella and her family. It gonna be you. Then you cry, oh, what kind of people you all is, blah, 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 blah. Please, it's nonsense. And no speaker of the house should be doing that, because a speaker of the house is in a position to know things. Because her colleague is the Minister of National Security. Members of Parliament, if you are spreading such things without being informed, you are ridiculous. You are, show the Bahamas that in your position of leadership, you are in a position to know things the average soul cannot know. You ain't asking me, I'm not asking you anything. I've been there. Come on, man. I'm talking about in the totality of our behavior and conduct. We can do better than this. We must do better than this. It is a great shame on those who do it, that we do this. I tell you that. Get mad with me if you wish. That is up to you. It is a great shame to us that you do this. I've heard some of the horror stories. People running around with enraged, not having confirmed, not knowing. Just somebody tell you. Somebody tell you, somebody tell you, somebody tell you. Surely we could do better. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Len, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
BK Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Bahamar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of BK Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win at BK242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is safe and effective. Just one jab for now offers you protection against the serious risks of COVID-19. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine reduces the likelihood of serious illness, hospitalization, and death from COVID-19. Get vaccinated and help reduce the spread of COVID-19. To be safe, continue to wash your hands, wear your face mask, practice physical distancing, and get vaccinated.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olain, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you wish to give us a call, the numbers to do so are as follows: 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. If you ask the police, after they discover a body, was that person sexually abused? How is the police to know? How is the police to know? Ordinarily, such discoveries rest with the coroner, who is able to examine and say, well, there appears to be, or so forth. And then you get your autopsy, which confirms various things, especially in relation to cause of death. Because while an appearance of it may in fact point to it, it can also be something else. So if you ask the police, was the person sexually assaulted, and they refuse to answer, might it not be their professional judgment to wait for evidence to support same? Might it not be their professional judgment to wait for certainty and timeliness in order to disclose such things? Now, if the police is unwilling to comment to that extent, it does seem to me rather challenging that the Minister of National Security is willing to do so. Now, while it may not be wrong for the minister to say there's no evidence of sexual assault, well, is there no evidence because you haven't done the examination, or somebody else hasn't done the examination, or you haven't been informed? Or is it better to say there's no evidence while the police is at the same time saying anything? Or is it better to say we are still awaiting the results of the professional examiners in the matter? Would that not have been better? Is that not better? Because either way, it's speculation. And people who are in positions to know don't have to produce speculation because they are in a position to know. And an anxious society and community doesn't mean that one has to say something. Doesn't mean that, because if you know the Buddhist say, if a thing is true and unhelpful, do not say it. If a thing is untrue, unhelpful, don't say it. And if a thing is true and helpful, find the right time to say it. So we don't have to be pressed into saying things. We can wait so that, being in command of information ourselves, we are able to give greater certainty and clarity to the society about the things that they are curious about. Someone says something quite insightful. Says, removing the sex element from the discussion causes too many to confront their own tendency to beat children. Wow. That's what's happening? That you need sexual assault so that you could say, well, child, beating children ain't no problem because you ain't... No. No. I grew up in a world where you used to get beaten. Okay, let me just say it right away. I listen, my opinions, in a certain historical context and cultural context, the discipline we got by beating was, I think, for me, listen, I can only speak for me, was entirely agreeable and acceptable, okay? And today I think that there are those who will practice that and have no difficulty with it. As a matter of fact, the research on corporal punishment suggests that it does have benefits only insofar as producing immediate compliance with respect to an instruction. What does that mean? That means that if you want a child who's running around near the road or something that is in imminent danger, trying to poke a metal rod into a socket, if you beat or spank that child, right, the suggestion is that you will get immediate compliance from that child. That child will stop poking that thing in the wall. But in terms of the medium to long-term benefits of that, the research says there's very little. In fact, the research supports that there's more harm in doing so than in good. Okay? So you pick your poison when it comes to corporal punishment. And maybe that explains to us why some of our parents talk about how their children are disciplined because they put the rod on them. And yeah, they disciplined while they were around you because they could get the rod. But many of those children, and even some who grew up to become wonderful professionals who like to talk about, well, child, I got beaten, that it ain't killed me. But when they went off away from their parents, you ask them the amount of nonsense they did because they could do it because they wasn't going to get beaten. You ask them. Smoke all kind of pot, sniff all kind of coke, do all kinds of nonsense. And yes, it didn't kill them. And yes, they went ahead and got their qualifications and were able to go on to become productive adults, etc. But the point of the matter is, when you were doing the stuff you were doing, it wasn't no corporal punishment that was was making you do it or stopping you from doing it. So let's be careful when we start talking about, oh, child, well, I get beaten, but it didn't kill me. You know how many children get beaten and are in prison today? Who are not in prison, but or maybe could be? Who are under the grave today, got beaten, you know, and got caught up in violent or harmful or criminal activity? You know, let's talk about things in a way that reflects the evidence of the case. So I'm not going to condemn any Bahamian parent who used corporal punishment, and maybe even today use corporal punishment. I'm not going to condemn you, but I will say to you that your behavior and your conduct was not on the most informed basis. And some of you could not have been so informed because there was no evidence to support you saying other than what you got from the Bible. And when you misread that or misunderstood it or misinterpreted it, I could understand why you would carry on the way you carried on. I understand that. You know, so, but I'm not going to condemn any parents, but in a more informed and enlightened way, man, please. You can use corporal punishment if you want, you know, and maybe in select circumstances, it may be what you need to do. I don't know, but let's not pretend that there is some grand wisdom in doing what we've done and are doing. But I can tell you this much. There ain't no question in my mind that there are parents in the Bahamas whose corporal punishment, whose rod, was either borderline abusive or just entirely abusive altogether. Yeah, and just entirely abusive. I mean, just listen. In fact, if the definition of abuse is that you leave a mark on a child and that mark includes ridges, then many, many Bahamian parents have abused their children. Many. Because you, anyway, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, call up. We're listening to you. Go ahead, Carlo. Hi, how you doing?
All right, man. So I'm just tuning into your show, listening to the points that you bring it up. It's really, really funny. I was laughing at some of the things you say. But let me start off by saying, you know, the mindset of the Vietnamese people is really sickening. Really, really sickening. You know, you brought up and you said that when people start rumors, and the way rumors are started, you know, people don't understand the effect that they have on other people's lives by doing things like that. You know, we shouldn't speculate or jump to conclusions without facts or evidence. You know, it's unfortunate that a young child died. I'm not condoning the situation or anything like that. But we should wait till the officials come out and make the proper statements to say exactly what happened before we jump to face come the reporters, we become the judge, the jury, and then the entire Bahamas, the Haitian people are up in uproar for no apparent reason. You know, it's sad to say that this is where the country has come and what the country has come to, whereas everyone jumps to social media and believes everything that goes in social media. It's sickening and sad because you have unintelligent behavior sitting out every day, only waiting to spread around negative things. It's easy to spread around something negative, but something positive, you will never see the type of effect.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
When are we going to get it right? You know,
absolutely.
We have a slave mentality, Mr. Lang.
How old are you?
So I'm 33.
33. At 33 years old, when was the last time you heard a piece of positive news spread through the Bahamas like wildfire?
Oh, no. That ain't happened.
I think it has happened, even though in some instances it had been a lie. Because I remember when there was a fella running around saying he was paying off people's bill, and that spread all through the country like wildfire. I've seen it happen on occasions, but it ain't common. Most rumors are just simply negative.
No, it's not common, no, Mr. Lang.
Not at all.
You know what's common? It's easier for a person to hate someone than love them. It's easier.
But you know why that is, don't you?
Why is that, Mr. Lang?
Okay. See, always remember that self-preservation is the primary aim of every human being, self-preservation. Mm-hmm. So we are more attuned to the things that threaten us, that seek to obliterate us, that seek to undo us, to seek to belittle us, that we are attuned to things that will build us up. Because self-preservation is a stronger urge for us than is even self-advancement. And so the Roma is oftentimes about something negative, child sexual abuse, child murder, child abuse. And so immediately the mind asks, the ego asks, am I in danger? And it seeks out that information. And that's one of the reasons why the media says if it bleeds, it leads, because they know that the population is more attuned to the things that are threatening to themselves than they are attuned to some child who got an A in high school. It's a matter of self-preservation. Yeah, but you're absolutely right, and I thank you for calling, my friend.
All right, sir. Take care.
You too, my friend. All right, this text says, hi, that belief system is called cognitive biases. There are some elements of cognitive bias in it, but that's not the term, but there is some element of it. A cognitive bias is a systematic error in thinking that occurs when people are processing and interpreting information in the world around them and affects the decisions and judgments that they make. That biases are not real for sure, but the one that I'm talking about has to do more with the way we accept our first beliefs in such a strong and powerful way. And I'll find the term for you. I just don't have it at the moment. Okay, now I want to, and we're going to do this after we come back from the break, use Mr. Monroe's comments as a bit of a policy guidance, let's say. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to look at Mr. Monroe's, the minister's comments about sex registers. We'll be back.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take. Hello? Yes, it's time. I know a lot sooner than we thought. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep, with what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork, I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual Funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's opposed to you, $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Bulla, I'm your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at all, you can call us on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me, on 439-3043. So the Honorable Minister of National Security, in talking about matters related to the death of young Bella. And he said, listen, I'm not convinced about the efficacy of sex offenders registers. Because being on an island 21/7, it only takes you about 45 minutes to cross the island, so I don't know how effective that would be, but he did go on to say, but if it is able to prevent one sexual abuse, then let's move forward with it. Let's get it done. Now, a couple of things here. Firstly, whether a policy is effective or not matters to what the objective of the policy is. What's the objective of the policy? And so what is the objective of a sexual offenders register? What is the objective? What is the aim? Well, the register provides an opportunity for a listing of persons convicted of sexual offenses and allows for people in a community to be aware of that person's presence and conviction for that offense. And so, presumably, this is the assumption, being aware that such and such a person has been convicted of sexual offenses and knowing that that person is within the vicinity of your neighborhood or your whatever, you can take precautionary measures to mitigate, to reduce any opportunity for that person to recommit their offense. That's the intention. That's the assumption. Now, the minister says that the size of the island causes him to question how effective it would be. I'm not saying I get that argument. I don't know because while the Bahamas, while not New Providence is 21 by 7, that ain't true for Andros, and it ain't true for Long Island, and it ain't true for Grand Bahama. And in a local community, say in United States of America, a little rural district, they could be smaller than New Providence, and they have sex offenders. Okay. In fact, on the assumption that knowing helps a small place where the register exists, you assume the help will be even greater. Because big brother, everybody know who you are. So you either behave yourself, that's the assumption, or you go someplace else, right? But here's the thing. I'm hoping that the new ministers might be able to take advantage of this. We have an opportunity. If you are a minister today, if you are a public officer today, like a member of parliament or a senator, here's the opportunity you have. You have an opportunity prior to commenting on a public policy matter. You have an opportunity to be more radically informed than the society to whom you are speaking. Why? If you are a minister, you have a permanent secretary, your secretaries, you have deputy permanent secretaries, first assistant secretaries, you have directors and deputy directors. You have people with the competence to go and get you research to inform your conversation with your colleagues and with the society in ways that most people have not the opportunity to do. So your opinion or your speculation, even if you want to render them, can be rendered with much more backing and support than the average citizen in the country could afford. So, for instance, the minister could have said that he could have said a number of things about sex offenders registries. One of the things he could have said is, you know, if you do some search for research on sex offenders registries, you will find, first of all, that the research is scanty, meaning that not a lot exists. So that's the first thing. But where there is such research, what you will find, and I read you the conclusion of one such, in the United States of America, this is an abstract from a piece of research conducted by Vasquez, Madden, and Walker in 2007, the influence of sex offender registration and notification laws in the United States, a time series analysis. And it says, although federal legislation for the implementation of sex offender registration and notification systems is now a decade old, empirical studies on the efficacy of this policy are relatively non-extant. This article explores the impact of registration legislation on the incidence of forcible rapes. Using monthly count data of rapes aggregated at the state level, this analysis uses Box-Jenkins autoregressive integrated moving average models to conduct 10 intervention analyses on the enforcement of Bagan's law. Here's the results. Says the results of the analyses are mixed. He could have said that. He could have said that if you look to where there have been studies, it's mixed on whether the enforcement of sex offender registration had a statistically significant effect on the number of rapes reported at the state level. He says, although several states showed a non-significant increase in the number of rapes, non-significant, meaning it didn't seem to make much difference that the register existed, only three states had a significant reduction in rapes, he said, the study says. Policy implications are discussed in terms of the efficacy of sex offender registration and whether changes in these laws should be considered. So this study says that yes, there were a few states that showed reductions, but not many. Another study he could have said they did a study in New York. This was by Socia. The efficacy of county level sex offender residence restrictions in New York. And that abstract says residents in restrictions seek to protect community members from registered sex offenders re-entering society following incarceration. Says these policies, first passed in 1995 at the state level and in 2005 at the county and the local levels, have become extremely popular throughout the United States, but without proof that they are effective. To date, the research on these policies has been extremely limited and has largely focused on the unintended consequences that these policies cause for registered sex offenders. This study examines whether county residents were associated with reduced sex crime arrest rates in New York State. In doing so, this study draws on the limited prior research regarding the effectiveness of residence restrictions and on the extensive literature regarding the incapacitation and deterrence of crime through public policy measures. Results indicate that residence restrictions were not associated with significantly reduced arrests for sex crimes committed either by registered sex offenders, regardless of victim, or by non-registered sex offenders against child victims. However, results suggested that these policies may be associated with a general deterrence effect, resulting in a decrease of sex crimes against adults by first-time sex offenders, non-registered sex offenders. Implications for future research are discussed. You see, so in pointing to studies, the minister and others can get away from my view. Because honestly speaking, outside of your professional certifications, your view matters to what degree in a case of a matter of a more technical or nuanced nature. You're the Minister of National Security, you're a lawyer, you're an engineer, you're the Minister of Health. Your technical expertise is limited, as maybe even more limited than some members in the society generally. Who cares? But what does matter is that you can be better informed because you have all these technical advisors. But what is happening too often, it happened in the last administration, it is happening now, it happened in prior administrations. What is happening too often, likely the responsibility as leadership in the country to come to the society and in an informed way. It is better. It would be more helpful for leadership in the society to say to the members of the press, I am going to be making a full statement on this matter at a given time. And let that full statement be informed by the technical guidance and advice of the people who have been engaged and hired, who are paid regularly to provide such guidance and perspective. And that way we can move the society along from being a bunch of folk who just love to hear their own voices speak without regard to whether that voice is informed by anything concrete, evidential, or substantive. And so there is an opportunity to push the society along. It could even prompt some engagement and some study. I can tell you, in one instance, I already know there is a movement by one of the cabinet ministers and one of their ministries to come to have a studied approach to something. Instead of just getting out there and blurting stuff, let's study it, let's understand it, let's know. So does a sex offender registry work? Well, first of all, we don't have one in the Bahamas, so we have no basis in the Bahamas to say whether it can or cannot be effective. However, what limited research exists out there in the world, we can draw on that and come to understand what are the negatives, what are the positives, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, and we can better inform the public policy dialogue this way. And so I encourage our leadership to move in this direction. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to continue on this line of discussion. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Rulai, your host. We'll be back after the news break.
Together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivar Golan, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. All right. So we were making the point about how we have an opportunity as leadership to speak to the public in a more informed way because we have resources at our disposal that could help us be so informed. You would say to the permanent secretary, to the directors and other citizens, you know, I want to speak on this matter, but I need to have some information to help support or some information that informs me about what the state of play is about this particular policy anywhere in the world and so forth. And let them arm you so. And then when you come out and you speak, I'm telling you, the media will eat that up. They will eat up that an informed minister, an informed member of parliament, an informed senator has provided them with information and insight that they did not have that is objectively capable of being verified, especially if it is of a scholarly nature, of an expert finding, pure information, that kind of thing. I'm not asking you to be a scholar. That ain't your job. You got scholars, though. You have people with technical expertise who can help along these lines. Secondly, a minister is a part of a collective governing machinery. Okay? You are part of a cabinet, and it is to the cabinet that the executive function of the country has been delegated. The general direction and control of the government belongs to the cabinet. So a minister is responsible to the cabinet in terms of the policies of the government and then accountable to the parliament for conduct in respect of the governance. So a minister said that I don't know how a sex offenders registry would be, given that we have an island 21/7. Okay, that's your view. Now tell us what the government's position is. Tell us what the cabinet has concluded about what will happen to the sex offenders registry. Tell us what will happen. Because beyond your personal point of view, what we get impacted by is the decision of the government as concluded by the cabinet. See? It is the cabinet that brings the bills forward. It's the cabinet that authorizes the bill to be brought forward. It is the cabinet that authorizes for a policy implementation, generation, or amendment. It is the cabinet. Or a minister could take upon himself to do it. He could take upon himself, but if the government don't agree, if the cabinet don't agree, it'll get changed. So it is one thing to hear what a minister says. I don't make nobody fool you with that. That is possible. Hubert Alexander Ingraham said, and he was prime minister of the Bahamas, he was against capital punishment, against it. And I know privately he was against it because me and him had arguments about it. We're flying back from Canada one day, and me and him had a serious problem. He tell me, said, you know, you're Christian. Where's your grace? He didn't lie. And I lie. I told him, you know, almost thou persuadest me. He was really, really serious, though. He was really, really. But that didn't stop him from signing warrants or moving the process forward for there to be a corporal punishment, executed in the country. Why? Because his personal point of view was not what prevails. It is what the cabinet wishes. It is what the government as a collective agrees. And so we know the minister. Now, here's the thing, right? So if the minister expresses his view out in public like that, and the cabinet has not deliberated on it, but then the cabinet comes to deliberate on it, and the cabinet's deliberation is a conclusion contrary to what the minister's view is, now you know how to divide the cabinet. Now you know what the division is. At least you have some idea of the division based on at least the proclamation of one. This is one of the reasons why there's collective responsibility, because there's supposed to be in that the ability of all, the ability of all to own the decision of cabinet without any one person appealing to X, Y, and Z. Normally, that's what should be the case. So, but you know, again, it is not inappropriate for the minister to be able to express what his point of view is on a matter. That it's a good opportunity to be and express informed points of view on these matters so that the society could be brought along, because we do owe that responsibility as leadership, you know. We owe it to our society to lift them up. And it is not a lifting up because they are less intelligent than we are, because they are less smart than we are. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the extent to which in some circumstances we have access to better information and better advice than they might, and we can use that to help bring them along. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Ain't no government going to tell me how to discipline my children. These new generations, they need the belt. When I was in school, the headmaster beat the boys with cane on their hips and the girls in their hands, but the belt on these little rude children. Everything the Americans do, we do about child abuse, for crying out loud. Well, first of all, my friend, you are talking in vain. Why? Because you're only running on now. If the government of the Bahamas passes a law that tells you you cannot physically beat your child, you could carry on. Just make sure your backside don't get catch, because you will be hauled before the court and you'll be charged and convicted. And they can tell you to and put you in the court or fine you, send you to jail. So you could have a hard mode all you want. My brother, the government exists with power for a reason. You stay right there. Ain't no government going to tell you. There ain't only governments telling you don't beat your child. Experts are telling you don't beat your child. Now, if you believe this, oh, this only American stuff, so I ain't going to buy that. American stuff. Carry on. Carry right on. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Thanks for having this conversation. But sir, please don't let it rest here. Please have it with some of your colleagues at your radio station. Some other show hosts live off gossip and reporting them to be facts. Yeah. Okie dokie. Says the Bahamian people and myself heard the news on Guardian Radio about a child who was taken to hospital upon exam. A whole, what you people expect the reaction to be from the people. I totally agree with the Bahamian people. Well, I don't even understand that. If the Guardian, if any other media reports something as fact or without evidence and so forth and so forth, that doesn't make it wrong. And now you say that is what happened, but what does that have to do with what I'm saying now? So my friend, sometimes to me, the insanity of the suggestion you just made is this. So what you're telling me is, if the Guardian reports that there are benefits to committing suicide for yourself, and I therefore suggested you commit suicide, you're telling me that we should just go along with it. If the Tribune or somebody else or me, some other media, ABC, NBC, CNN, any one of them, it's okay. I mean, that kind of thinking to me is just backward. Okay, so what if somebody does something that is not right or appropriate? Does that excuse that you're doing it? You think so? Well, I would never train my children that way. I would never train my child. I would train my children never to be so unthinking about what they do. It's Texas, Mr. Lang. Wow. That is a revelation you saw with the statements of Minister of National Security. And it is a shame no one stood up to correct him. Nassau is not the entire Bahamas. No question with that. No question with that. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. If those studies give mixed results, then maybe they should look at those three states with decreased rapes to see what they did differently. In my opinion, statistically significant or not, if one child is prevented from being a victim of a sex crime because of a functioning registry, then the program is a success. I'm not going to argue with you at all about it. All I'm saying is that, what I just did was provided you with the information, and look at how you are now having the discussion. See how your discussion is now different? Before, you would have said, yes, you would have rendered me an opinion, but you said something very sensibly. You said, listen, why not let's look at those three states and see what may have been differently done in those states and then be informed by thereby. That's the reason for the research. The research isn't trying to tell you what to do. It's just trying to enlighten us about what exists. Find our efforts to get at the truth. So you perfectly make the point. This text says, Mr. Lang, I heard Minister Bell talk about his cabinet and his government. Is he correct in saying this? No. The protocol is that the only person who is able to refer to the government as my government is the Prime Minister. And the Governor General, on behalf of the Queen, can say the same thing, but it's the Prime Minister's government. It's his government. There's no cabinet minister is a member of his government. That's why you don't call it the Bell administration. It's called the Davis administration, the Minnis administration, the Christie administration, the Ingram administration, the Pinding administration. You would never have heard, no matter how significant a minister is in any administration, anybody refer to it as anything other than the Prime Minister's government, okay? It's Texas Lang. I like you laying things out. Monroe expressed, he said the cabinet will do what they have to, and he will have to follow. That is true. I did, but I never suggested that he said anything otherwise. I just said that he did speak to his personal situation, but I said, what now is the cabinet situation? You are saying, he is saying, they will do. I'm asking. I'm, as a country, as a citizen, asking, what is that view? That's the only thing I'm asking. We don't know. We know what his view is. Say simple, it seems some of us are not used to ministers telling truth, but either do their job or leave. Listen to me. First you started okay, and then now you're talking nonsense. You're talking nonsense, man. You're talking nonsense. I just finished telling you, Prime Minister Ingram said what his point of view was on a matter. I've been a cabinet minister and said what my view was on many matters. Many matters. Right? So stop talking nonsense. I went in the cabinet in the House of Assembly. I spoke about crime and the causes of crime and these kinds of things and so forth and so forth. When I was done, the Prime Minister said to me, he said, Chivago, you need to take that tape and you need to play that all over the place. Stop talking nonsense. Have some context, perspective. Okay? There are many, many, many cabinet ministers who have in time spoken their spoken truths. Don't say that. I don't nonsense. So Mr. Lang, the study is troubling to me because they don't say how many of the women and men were molested by women also. It seems those studies is just about highlighting men abusing or molesting. But first of all, you haven't even read the study. What do you mean? You haven't read. Do you want me to? Let me tell you where you can find the study, right? And then you could read it. The study, it wasn't about men or women being molested. The study was about the amount of sexual abuse that occurred since the passage of a registry. That's what it was. Okay. So you cannot disagree with a study you have not read. Okay, so it's like I'm saying, if a minister don't like how the PM doing things, he have a choice. Stop always being so angry. No, you ain't say that. You didn't say that at all. And I'm not angry. Not at all. I just disagree with you. Say if a minister don't like how the PM doing things. Okay. We're gonna take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. You're listening to Z Live.
So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage.
We are working to protect our country, our people, and our livelihoods so that we can move forward. The vaccine is safe. The vaccine is easy. The vaccine is essential for our recovery. If we want to rebuild our economy, if we want to get back to our jobs, if we want to get back to our lives, our families, we must do this together.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of app.
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rulain, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad that you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, you have the numbers to do so. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. Or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lyon, beautiful show. Can a government stay more than 5 years because of the snap election? No, 5 years. Actually, the parliamentary term, remember, that's what triggers a change in government is the end of a parliamentary term, right? And that parliamentary term is 5 years, right? If you want to go less than 5 years, you can, but the maximum is 5 years. Okay, so we have some more text here. This text says, "Good day, Mr. Lang. Minister Davila admitted that he knew COVID contact tracers weren't being paid. Since then, we have only been warned and threatened by our supervisors to keep our issues in-house and don't call radio. Please inform the relevant authority that all our bills are due and we still have not been paid." Well, yeah. Maybe they're listening. I'll tell you one thing. Why would you not be paid? Well, there's only a couple of reasons. Or there was not a proper authorization to pay you. Or there was not the proper establishment clearance to pay you. One or three of them things, all, that might be the reason, I don't know. But if the minister knew you weren't being paid and the minister therefore knows you ought to be paid, if the minister ain't paying you, the only reason I could tell you probably is there ain't no money to pay you. And that'll be tragic because yes, you've got bills. Yeah. And I was when I used to come to Grand Bahama, there would be all these COVID people at the airport, and they would ask you for your COVID test and your travel visa and whatever. And immediately following election, when I came, I mean, like, it was just that just all stopped. And then there were only like a few out there, and they weren't really doing anything. They weren't checking for anybody, et cetera. So I only assumed that something had changed after the election. But, you know, this is when these kinds of things can happen, when sometimes the process is worked or operated in a way where when the government changes, people come to take on a different approach to the thing, right? Anyway, I hope you get paid. Because if you work, you ought to get paid no matter what it is, you ought to get paid. And so I hope you get paid. So I don't approach these issues with a FNM, PLP, DNA point of view at all. I look at them as opportunities for us to grow. That's the reason why I try to put the discussions in the context that I put it in, because they provide opportunities for us to grow. And all of these, the government, all of these members of parliament, all of these senators, they have to see the larger than themselves opportunity that they have. Really is. Madam President of the Senate, Madam Speaker of the House of Assembly, senators, members of parliament, cabinet ministers, prime minister, all of them have a huge opportunity that transcends their personal perspectives and points of view. I have to say that largely the prime minister has been rising to that challenge. I can say that largely he has been operating in a kind of a balanced, philosophical, kind of transcendent role than the typical, you know, tendencies we have seen in times past by some, right? And so they should follow his lead, you know, follow his lead in that regard. I mean, he's had some missteps, I thought, especially on $1 billion. But by and large, his demeanor, his tune, his comportment, it's been admirable. Let's be clear. I mean, as a citizen, I'm proud. I'm proud to see his functioning, and I'm going to keep watching. Hope that others could follow his lead. And I'm not suggesting that his other ministers have not entirely done that or so forth, but I'm just speaking about him particularly. But there is this opportunity. And be sure of this, cabinet ministers, be sure of this. You all are new. Many of you are new, very new to this, very, very new. There's opportunity for your personal growth in it as well. Personal growth. See, because you are filling an office that shall remain when you are gone. And you want to bring honor, dignity, and value to the office. Let the next office holder say, my God, I better be like her, like him. Don't let the next office holder say, Jesus said, the last thing I want to do is be like her or him. you don't want to do that. Right? Because that ain't going to be helpful at all. This text says, government is still yet to find the budget in terms of projected borrowings. People are losing sight of this in their assessment. Time is ticking by slowly but surely. Yeah. But I can tell you one thing. Christmas coming. plenty of angels that set their mark on your performance by how they fare in the Christmas. The money tight in the Christmas, boy. People start getting really, really aggravated. And I know that they be drumming up this Christmas thing in a kind of false commercialism kind of way. But anyway, that's just the reality of it. That's just the way it is. I want to really stress to Bahamas. As a matter of fact, I had a text here I wanted to read. This text says, "Hi, Shivago, you are spot on. Too many people in responsible positions like to blurt out statements when a mic is shoved in their faces. There's nothing wrong with saying, please allow me to gather some more information and I will revert to you. It's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, many times it is advisable. This text says you will lose your voice talking about Wayne Monroe's performance. Sorry to say, he can only see things through the eyes of a questionable criminal defense lawyer. Just my 5 cents." I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, you all will recall that I did say at the beginning of the term, this new term, that his would be a space to watch. I did say that because over time I've just come to see him highly intelligent gentleman. Nobody can deny that. Quite obviously, quite skillful as an attorney in the space that he operated in. But that instinct, you can see that instinct that he had prior to coming to term, to office. You can see that instinct fighting against the new position and the new space he's operating. To be careful with that, okay? It is one thing when you poured yourself into a particular practice and vocation and you're really good at it, and you are now operating in a space that works in many ways contrary to that particular mode that you've been in. That's like someone who is brash and, really shooting from the hip. Like, you wouldn't want a person like that being in a Ministry of Foreign Affairs or in a diplomatic post, because that might serve them well in some places, but it ain't gonna serve them well there. Who has the ability to tame their thoughts, to take instructions, and to simply act in a role of envoy, right? So you have to be careful. You take somebody who is brash and really not given to fairness or equity, and you are asking them to now protect the rights of both sides of a house, that could cause you to challenges if that person doesn't adjust and adapt to a new role. And maybe, and sometimes in our lifetimes, we come to be fighters. We come to be a certain kind of way, and that has served us well in the places and spaces where we operated. But then in other places and spaces, it may not serve us so well. I've had the same kind of life. Simply put, right? I'm used to forthright speaking. I'm used to aggressive debating and so forth. That ain't helped me in some instances. Still doesn't help me in some instances, but that's why I got to fight against it sometimes, So you got to be able to adapt to your new environment. And you're now the Minister of Police, but in many instances, you were working. I mean, honestly, it's hard for me to see why, for instance, the PM made that choice. But maybe there's some wisdom in it, but because you worked for a long time. I listened to Minister Monroe speak. I've heard him say, you know, in one instance, someone was in a jail cell that ought not to have been there, and something happened, and he said, you know, someone has to explain to me why this has happened. Well, first of all, the someones are the police, and the police are your officers. They're yours. It is your police force to manage. And so now if your communication suggests to the police that, okay, is this our minister or is this our monitor? Which is it? Because now you have to balance your rapport with them in such a way that, one, you hold them to account, but at the same time, they understand that you are there to help them execute government policy. Right? But again, you can't blame Mr. Monroe entirely, because in his former life, most of his efforts was on the other side of the debate, side of the divide. But what is required now is for an intelligent adjustment that enables the new role to be fulfilled effectively. And so we will have to watch and see, as we certainly will. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. So we'll be back.
Hello? Yes, it's time. I know a lot sooner than we thought. Well, that's thanks to those returns from my RF Mutual funds. You know they have some of the best performing funds in the market. Yep, with what I've been earning, I can finally set a date for my product launch. Draft the paperwork, I'm on my way.
Reach your financial goals sooner with RF Mutual Funds. Sign up by November 29th for a chance to win $1,000. Find out more at rfgroup.com. RF, money.
Which corporation advises its customers that the corporation will commence disconnection of all outstanding accounts beginning Monday, November 15th, 2021, in both New Providence and the Family Islands. Customers with outstanding accounts and financial agreements are requested to ensure that their accounts and financial agreements are brought up to date as soon as possible to avoid an interruption in service. Should you need to speak with a customer representative, please visit their mall at Milethorne location or the corporation's head office on University Boulevard between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or via local banks, the corporation's website, pay by phone by dialing 302-5630 or any cash and go, Omni Flash Cash or Sun Cash locations.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-316 or 325-4259. Or you can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You have a text here that says that I, Shivago, in my opinion, both the Minister of National Security and the Minister of Public works and utilities are in positions in which they are conflicted, really. They should not have accepted those positions, i.e. if they had a choice. Why would the Minister of Public Works be conflicted? I'd like to know. This text is aligning people saying Monroe can only see lawyer. Well, some of us thought Carl Bethel could only see things through the elite business white eyes. Just craziness. Monroe's law experience would stop some of these frivolous and no case cases to reach to court if sufficient evidence is not there. First of all, let me tell you, I do not believe that Mr. Monroe is unable to see things from a perspective other than his former practice, even though I believe it can color what and how he approaches things. Secondly, I don't know where the Carl seeing things from the elite business white eyes comes from. I mean, Carl Bethel used to represent Nassau Village. All right. And I can tell you, Carl Bethel had a rapport with the brothers in Nassau Village. So I don't know what that is supposed to mean. Him stopping frivolous cases. First of all, Mr. Monroe does not sit as minister to be involved with whether or not the police charges anybody or not. So please understand how our process works. The commissioner of police's responsibility is to have his officers go out there and to pick up people suspected of crimes. They and the prosecutor's office determine whether a matter should go forward to court, not the minister, because there's not supposed to be any political involvement in that process. So please don't let nobody hear you say that while I'm rowing, by the way. Since you think I always row. All right, no man. I don't believe what he would allow himself to get caught up in that. You can imagine a minister telling, a politician telling the commissioner of police, no, don't prosecute them. Don't carry that fight. Kid, you would want that in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Lord, I don't want to live in that society. I don't want to live in that society. No, sorry, Bob. If I live in that kind of society, boy, you think I'd be on the radio talking about, I think the minister should have uncut her? I'll shut my mouth. Next thing you know, I get locked up. You don't want to live in that kind of state, man. No. So what happens is that's the police's responsibility. That's the commissioner's responsibility. And him and the prosecutors and them, they make that determination. And in some instances, I don't even know if the prosecutors get involved. I don't know at all. You know? Listen to me, man. I want y'all to tell you. My heart, my desire is to do nothing other than to be helpful to you. Forgive me if I'm brash sometimes. Forgive me if I am rude and come across as angry or rowdy, etc. I don't mean anything by it, right? It can happen. My son said to me one day, he said, Daddy boy, listen to me. That voice of yours. Oh, I prefer you to beat me. That voice, Daddy. And then he said to me, He said, man, your voice is aggressive. And so now I have this habit when I call him or talk to him. He mostly say that when I call him, because you know, because he's often got something in his ear or doing something, I have to go and call him. So every time now I say to him, I say, I wasn't aggressive then. He said, no. So forgive me. But my earnest desire, my truest aim, is to do honor to this show, to its sponsors, to make sure that they are proud and happy to be able to get their message out to the show, and to be helpful to yourselves. That's it for me. That's what I'm trying to do, right? I don't have nothing to prove to anybody. I'm not trying to appear smart. I'm not trying to appear smarter. I have no time for all of that in my life, not at all. You know what I mean? This stuff is work. One will tell you, and all the others who host these shows will tell you, that it takes work to do a good job at trying to be informative, to be helpful, and to be knowledgeable, and so forth and so forth. So I'm only, that's my aim. I wanna inform you, I wanna inspire you, and for you as best I can with the information I have. That's all. No, everything else, just say, Lord, forgive him, he knows not what he does. I mean, even ministers, members of parliament, senators, it ain't that personal. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be personal. I'm not trying to attack you. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not trying at all. You'll notice when I speak about your matters, I try to speak of them in the against the backdrop of public policy and how people can understand the policy and how the policy works and how perhaps you can, your own selves, execute the matter even better. It ain't that personal. Right? Not trying to push an F&M line, a PLP line, a DNA line, a Davis line, a Minnis line. Not trying to do that. Just trying to be helpful. And it's necessary to be helpful. See, for years, the governance of this country has operated in the dark. For years, even in the way of what happened in the House of Assembly as a basic form of government operation, until you had an Ingram administration that made gavel-to-gavel discussions in the House of Assembly live on radio and in television, that it came to light that way. But even while that was in the light, so the debates was in the light, the discussions was in the light, it's the background operation that was entirely unknown to yourselves. And so having had that experience, both in working in the government as a civil servant and in working in the government as a political directorate, as a politician, I am trying to take that information, that background, and bring it in the foreground for you, so that you are more informed. And I listen to some of you all now when you text, when you call and so forth. I hear the languages, and that makes me proud, because now it says to me, we are making progress. Because the more you understand it, the better you understand it, the better off we are in truth. And that's what Z Live is gonna do until I decide I'm gonna do this no more, until they decide I'm not gonna do this no more. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Good. I'm enjoying your show as always. Just
thank you. I
wanted
it.
To make a couple points or observations.
Sure.
Reference what you're saying about the Minister of National Security.
Okay.
I know that he is not there to run the people or to tell the commissioner what to do. But like you said, from his previous life, he would certainly be aware of some loopholes that maybe cost the taxpayers money as a result of things the police are or may not be doing. So would he be wrong in making recommendations to can better train these officers to ensure that our taxpayers' money don't just walk out of the treasury to pay for suits that police officers just, where they're just failing to do their job?
Absolutely not. He would not be wrong to do so. In fact, he would be wise to do so, because remember, his job is to promote government policy. So if the government's policy is to strengthen the police force's ability to be more cost effective in utilizing public resources, then to go ahead and do the necessary to promote that policy.
Okay, so that's just what I want to say, because I think that his past life would certainly give him that expertise to say, I've been doing this a long time, and here are some of the loopholes that I see need to be closed, or you need to do a better job, not just on behalf of the police officer, but also on behalf of the citizen who is coming in contact with that officer to make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page.
Sure. And that's the job. His job is to strengthen the executing arm of public policy. That's what the police force is. That's what the courts are. That's what all these government agencies and departments are. They are executing arms of government policy. And so it is the responsibility of the political directorate to strengthen those executing arms. But in doing so, they have to be guided by the professional advice and technical advice of their officers.
Correct. I agree. But I just wanted to make that clear because he is the minister after all. And so there are still some things that he's responsible for, even though the commissioner is there and his position is entrenched. So certainly there is a separation. But I think the Minister of National Security, he brings a wealth of knowledge to that job and that can assist the force in making sure that what they're doing is correct at the end of the day.
Listen, someone as intelligent and obviously legally skillful as Wayne Monroe can be in any post that they give him. What I simply urge him and others to do is to elevate the dialogue with the society by allowing themselves to not fall to the temptation of just responding when a mic is put in their faces, but rather allow for the occasion to be more informed, because then you help the society along that way. That's all
I agree with you. And I've seen Jobert Cody Davis do it when she wasn't clear on what was being asked. She actually put the question back to the journalist. But we've seen that Mr. Monroe has been talking not only about the society and crime, but also how do we strengthen and ensure that our children are properly socialized? I think maybe you're going to see a lot of interaction with the Minister of National Security and maybe urban renewal, so that, you know, as the children grow, their property crime is no longer a temptation for them to get into it. They have something else to do. Like the Bible says, idle hands. If you find something for idle hands to do, they'll be more productive.
I agree with you 100%. 100%. Yes. They're very important for us to do.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. It's very insightful point and question made because there is a role for all of these ministers. It's just knowing that role and making sure that it is performed in a way that respects and regards the role that others have as well, because they also too have their roles, right? This text says, Lang, you are a psycho in a good way. Keep on, my brother. I am a psycho. I hope so. I'm psychologically being. You know, I talked yesterday about the most important lesson I learned in my life, which is to be a thinker. the other important lesson I learned in my life, very important lesson, is to be reflective. To be reflective. To look at myself, my conduct, my behavior. To listen to how people view my conduct and my behavior, and to evaluate all of that as objectively as I can without getting my ego in the way, so that I can determine that the thoughts, attitudes, beliefs, behaviors that I have are one, consistent with what I believe to be right or wrong or not, and two, can be adjusted where they do not work for the betterment of myself and the people I care about, or the people with whom I interact. And so that reflection leads you a lot of time to some sadness about yourself. Like sadness, I mean, like you say, you know, I could have done better with that, I could do better with that, and so forth and so forth. But then, you know, I don't stay there long though. I want y'all to know, Like if you say, if you text the show and you call the show and you say something negative about me, and I ain't gonna lie, it's get affected, right? I mean, like somebody say something negative about them, and 10 people could say something positive about you. One person says something negative, that's sticking in your head, right? I don't stay there long. You ain't gonna rent no space in my head for a long time for free. Now, if you paying, you can rent that space for a long time if you're paying well. But you're not gonna do it for free. And so I try to be reflective. And so if in that way I'm a little psychotic, yeah, I can take that. Oh boy. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's been why you coming so early? I got about like 2 more minutes to go. Why you playing music? You want me to go? You think I'm winding up? No, I'm not winding up yet. So tomorrow, we're going to have a very interesting talk and discussion. So stay tuned. We're going to have a very interesting talk and discussion tomorrow. Please stay tuned. I look forward to having that discussion with you. All right? You all be good out there. Stay well. Ministers, MPs, senators, all of y'all, be well. Do well. Watch yourself now. Listen. Do not get full of yourself. Don't get too big for your bridges. Because them same people you see and saw on your way up, you can see them on the way down. And when they were smiling while you were on the way up, they gonna be frowning on the way down, and it ain't gonna be a pretty picture. Get yourself now. It's early. You're early in your term. You can salvage any kind of missteps early. Get yourself. Trust me. I'm telling you. Get yourself. Naja Black is up next. God bless you. I love a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Now I'm so fed up. Time to put my life back together.